We're going back to Ezekiel, chapter number 36. Looking at a work within. Stony Heart removed a couple of weeks ago. Last Sunday, Diluted Devotion removed. Stony Heart. Take the stony heart out of their flesh. We closed out service that morning singing the chorus, Spirit of the Living God, fall fresh on me. Melt me, mold me, fill me, use me, Spirit of the Living God, fall fresh on me. That stony heart of doubt, disobedience, coldness, hardness. And then the diluted devotion removed, idols taken away, cleaning out the impurities. And invariably, the impurities or the idols of a person's heart come back to the idol of self. What I want to do over God's will. We find that in the history of mankind. I listened to a Jew speak this week in a little clip. And he was talking about the Jewish Bible. And that Jews were God's chosen people, and there's nothing that can change that. He said, we will always be God's chosen people, no matter where we are, no matter how we live. I don't know exactly what his context was in saying how we live. Doesn't matter how we live or how they live. But I do know that involved with the context of the children of Israel and God's chosen people, there were some dire consequences when they didn't follow God's plan. Yes, it always seemed to be that God never forsook them, and it's very likely that it was because God was trying to share with the world the reality of his love. But even in the midst of his love, there was a consequence. And that idol of self must be removed. We find that in the Old Testament. We find that in the New Testament. I want us to look once again in Ezekiel chapter 36 and see once again another aspect of a work within. I'm going to begin reading as I did last week at verse number 23. Ezekiel chapter 36, 23. And I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which ye have profaned in the midst of them. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. For I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries and will bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. Verse number 26, a new heart also will I give you. And a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. This morning I want us to look at the heart replacement. A new heart replacement. A work within, the stony heart removed, the diluted devotion removed, and a new heart replacement. Have you ever heard the little poem, The Little Pig with a New Heart? It goes like this. Mary had a little pig. Does that ring a bell with anybody? Something's wrong, isn't it? Mary had a little pig, and it was white as snow. That is when it had had a bath, as you of course might know. But Mary had an awful time to keep the piggy clean, for it was just the dirtiest pig that one has ever seen. She'd wash him and she'd scrub him till he would squirm and squeal, as if he wanted her to know that it was an unfair deal. And then inside his green backyard he'd play from morning until night, unless, of course, he happened to sneak out and lose himself from sight. And then when Mary found him, he'd be blacker than e'er before, so Mary'd get the soap again and scrub the pig some more. Poor Mary thought and wondered much what she could ever do until she figured out a plan, and this she carried through. She took him to a doctor who put the pig to sleep, and then he took his heart right out, but not, of course, to keep. And then he took a little lamb and took his heart out too and put it in the little pig before the piggy knew. When little piggy did awake, he had no more desire to wallow in the mud again or ever in the mire. And try as hard as e'er he could, he never understood how such a pig as once he was could ever be so good. So you see, dear friends of mine, you need a new heart too. Just like the little piggy did, the old will never do. If you'll receive a brand new heart, well, here is how you may. Accept God's Son as Savior now and let Him in today. I don't know who wrote that. I've heard that since I was a kid. It's got a good thought to it, and it goes along with the spiritual side of our lives. God is fully prepared to put a new heart within us. I think of Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, in his record of when he saw God high and lifted up. It's a message to be preached over and over again, and it has been preached over and over again. Because what we see there is the reality of a person's life. When we see God, when we have a picture of God, I'm talking about a biblical picture of God, we see God in His holiness. And when we see God in His holiness, we are made fully aware of how sinful sin really is, or how ugly sin is, or how dark sin is. When we see the holiness of God. We can't see that until we are looking at the light of God's holy life and living and being. When we see the holiness of God, somebody said that we sense our own unholy character. And when we then, in the light of God's holiness, can sense our unholy character, our spirit cries out for a change. We need a new self, not just new surroundings, not just a new place. Sometimes it's good for somebody to relocate, to start a new life. Sometimes the entanglements and all of the friendships that may be around pull them down. And so they feel like they need to relocate in a completely different area, in a completely different state sometimes, in order to get away from all of those connections. But there's something more than just simply the surroundings that is going to change a person. It's the new heart within. It's the change that needs to take place within. Paul the Apostle clarifies that, and he brings it out specifically. We can find it in 2 Corinthians chapter number 5 and verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, or if any person be in Christ, he is a new creature. That person is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You know what one of the dangers is of growing up in a church like ours, never realizing the need, the personal need, the importance of a personal change. Just growing up under the canopy, growing up under the umbrella, learning the rhetoric, learning the vocabulary. I was there. I did that. I know all about. I've experienced that. I'm speaking from personal experience when I say that. It's easy for us. It's a danger for us. It's a danger for our children to be able to grow up. And I'm not trying to belittle that, saying we have to go somewhere else. Not a chance. But it's something that we must press on our children. We must bring them to the reality that they cannot get to heaven under dad and mom's umbrella of religion. They must experience it for themselves. A new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things having passed away. Moffat translates that little section in Ezekiel there by saying, I will give you a new nature. A new nature, a change of within. The difference that takes place within the heart. Oh, if it were true that this little story about Mary had a little pig, being able to replace it with the heart of a lamb to make that change that Mary was wanting for her pig. But it is true for the spiritual. If there's still a hankering for the things of sin, if there's still a hankering to go the way of self, if there's still a problem with the idol worship of selfishness and selfish desire, then it really comes down to this particular point. Have I had my heart changed? Have I seen God in His holiness? Have I viewed God in His holiness? One of the problems with Christianity today, not the periodical Christianity today, but Christianity in its broad spectrum of today, is a lack of godly sorrow and repentance. It's a lack of godly sorrow and repentance. I believe in the sinner's prayer. The sinner's prayer, as we've heard it and we've known it, is vital. It's necessary. It's pointed. It brings a person to the place of reality that they first of all recognize their need of a Savior, and that Jesus is their Savior, and that He has the gift of eternal life. And all we need to do is to confess our sins and receive that gift and thank Him for the gift. That is exactly what needs to happen, but it's become so shallow, as though it's just simply a spoken word with nothing to follow. There's no or little godly sorrow in our repentance, as though it's my sin that has turned me away from God and has blocked me from God in the sense of eternity. If a person doesn't realize the awfulness of sin, then the sin habit just might not die. It probably won't die. You won't be able to get rid of the sin habit. I'm not talking about the habits of sin. I'm talking about the sin habit. It will not change your life just saying those words in a superficial measure or means and simply just speaking the sinner's prayer. It's not going to change your life just because you said those words. It's not going to give you eternal life just because you say those words. There must be a change. There must be a heart transplant. If the sin habit hasn't died, if the sin habit hasn't thoroughly gone out of business, then how can you join with Paul in saying, "Behold, all things are become new. The old is passed away." It saturates theology books. It saturates the Bible. It's not just limited to Wise Ball Community Church beliefs. But from a changed heart will come a changed conduct. A changed heart will produce new habits. A changed heart will create and present a different destiny. You see, the changed heart takes us out of the sinful world in the spiritual sense and places us into another spiritual world, into another realm, to where we are not a citizen of this country, but we are a citizen of another country whose builder and maker is God as we know it. So we have to ask ourselves, when we think about this and speak about this and bring our mind to this, we need to ask ourselves the questions, or the question, does the life that I'm now living reflect a heart that's made new by the Holy Spirit? The life that I am now living, does it reflect a heart that has been made new by the Holy Spirit? Let me read that again from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Does my life reflect a heart that has been made new by the Holy Spirit? Do I still desire the things of this world rather than the things of God? Does this world absorb my attention and conquer me? Now, don't get me wrong, I don't think we need to be getting to the point, and I don't want us to get to the point. The Bible speaks about this, getting to the point where we are so heavenly minded that we are no earthly value. That's not the extreme that we're looking for. But we are looking for the change of the heart that is necessary to create a new person, a new being, a new conduct, new habits, new desires, a different destiny. A new heart will I give you. He's indicating there that there is a complete change that takes place in a person's life. I know some that have gotten saved, and I really, really believe they got saved. And God laid his finger on some what would be called sinful habits. And sometimes God took those desires for those habits away in the snap of a finger. They'd come to an altar of prayer. They confessed their sins. You could see the transformation in their countenance, whether they shouted or not. You could see the transformation in their countenance. And when they got up from that place of prayer, the desire for those habits were gone. But then there were others that got up from that altar and went on in their habits. Only at some point to hear the voice of God saying to them, you need to lay that down. You need to give that up. You need to quit doing that. That is not pleasing to me. God would tell them without anybody else telling them that. I've seen it. I've heard. I've watched it happen. I've heard them come and tell me their experience with it. And sometimes that habit just didn't die right away. I don't have all the answers. I don't have all the answers, but I do know that the heart that is longing to be what God wants them to be realizes the awfulness of sin. And when God speaks, God must be obeyed. And they do everything they can. Godly sorrow for sin. A new heart will I give you, placing within a desire to know God, a desire to be as like God as possible, to be as close to God as possible. Have you ever prayed the prayer with Paul the Apostle that I might know him and the power of his resurrection? You've read it, I'm sure. You that have read your Bible through, you've seen that. You've read that. You've maybe even felt it speak to you. But I believe that Paul had something wrapped up in his thinking when he penned those words, when he felt those words, that he might know him. I know we closed out Wednesday night with a song being played. I want to close out this morning with that same song without it being played. I want a principle within of watchful, godly fear. A sensibility of sin, a pain to feel it near. I want the first approach to feel of pride or wrong desire, to catch the wandering of my will, quench the kindling fire. From thee that I no more may part, no more thy goodness grieve, the filial all, the fleshly heart, the tender conscience give. Quick as the apple of an eye, O God, my conscience make. Awake my soul when sin is nigh, and keep it still awake. Almighty God of truth and love, to me thy power impart. The mountain from my soul remove, the hardness from my heart. O may the least omission pain my reawakened soul, and drive me to that blood again which makes the wounded whole. I believe that Charles Wesley, as he penned those, was speaking, maybe not in his mind specifically, but I believe that he was speaking to the heart that had been changed. The deluded devotion was gone. The cold, hard, dead, stony heart was gone. And a new heart, longing to be like Jesus, was in place when he said, I want a principle within. Let's stand together this morning. The little pig had no more desire to wallow in the mud again or ever in the mire. Try as hard as e'er he could, he never understood how such a pig as once he was could ever be so good. You see, it comes from the new heart. The change that takes place in your life is because of the new heart. Are you changed? Are you changed? You can be. Praise God.